Well, a very, very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning. Before I start, just say, please do remember in your prayers, Sylvia Harris, who's still in hospital. I spoke to her daughter yesterday, and still in hospital, still just kind of struggling with medication stuff. So please do remember her in your prayers. And of course, this is my last service at St. Margaret's. After 19 years of standing here in front of you. Next, it's not my last service, because next Sunday, of course, will be the service on the Common. So no service here at 9:30. So if you find yourself sitting here at 9:25 next Sunday and wondering where everybody is, well, that's what it is. And you'll see there's a stage on the Common. We'll bring, I think we've got about 40 or 50 chairs from the parish rooms that we'll bring up. But if you do have a camping chair or deck chair or something that you can easily bring, then bring that, because it's probably going to be more comfortable than that, the orange chair from the hall. And I just really wanted, because it's just appropriate to say it now, to thank you for all the 19 years worth. We've been through quite a lot, one way or another, I think over 19 years. So you are, I mean, I said some of this last week, but you are part of me. You know, this has been my life now for these 19 years. So I will pray for you. I'd be very, very grateful if you would pray for me and for Ali as we kind of settle off into our new life. Speaking of whom, she's not here. Not for the first time, I've lost my wife. I think she's probably gone home to get the amazing painting of St. Margaret's Church that you presented us with last week. And it was sitting in the study by the side, so I'd remember to bring it this morning. Still forgot it. It's just, I'm only just here myself. As we sit here, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are trustworthy and you are true. Above and beyond anything else, you are trustworthy and true. And Lord, we come into your presence, relying utterly on your trustworthiness and your truth. So, Father, may we know you in the very depths of our beings. And Lord, that in that we might be refreshed and renewed. Because we ask this in the name of our precious Saviour. Amen.
Amen.
So our first hymn is number 135, God is working his purpose out. So God has a plan for our lives and we can trust him. We just need to follow, and that means submission to his will, and all that is in number 135. We stand to sing.
Glory.
We've come together as God's people in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we sit on the altar to pray. Let us pray. So we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. For our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord, have mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. And together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought, word, and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. It's our collect for today. O God, the King of glory, you have exalted your only Son, Jesus Christ, with great triumph to your kingdom in heaven. We beseech you, leave us not comfortless, but send your Holy Spirit to strengthen us and exalt us to the place where our Saviour is gone before, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So please be seated as Roger and Christine come with our readings.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 16. The heading is Paul and Silas in prison. Once, when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune-telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned round and said to her, to the Spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." At that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money had gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, "These men are Jews and are throwing our city into uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice." The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them very carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains became loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 12. "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, 'Come,' and let the one who hears say, 'Come.' Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues that are described in this scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.' The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Church of England isn't particularly known for passion in its worship, but we have plenty to be passionate about, and that's about our God and our hope. Our next hymn, I just love it for the passion, number 829, I Stand Amazed in the Presence of Jesus the Nazarene, number 829.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. All of the readings this morning are about our relationship with God and Jesus. In the reading from Revelation, we have a joyous message of hope and the wonderful reward waiting for all who believe in Jesus as Saviour and Lord. In Acts, in the story of Paul and Silas, we're encouraged to praise God no matter what our circumstances. And in the gospel reading I've just read, Jesus prays for our unity together in Christ. Now, as most of you probably already know, I do like my images to help me understand how to do things. And I really love this image for prayer. I have shared it before, but I just find it so helpful that I thought I'd share it with you again. A hospital chaplain visited a delightful old lady in hospital. And as he approached her, he noticed that with the index finger of one hand, she was touching, one by one, the fingers of the other hand with her eyes closed. When the chaplain spoke to her, she opened her eyes and said, "Oh, minister, I was just saying my prayers. The prayers my grandmother taught me many years ago." The chaplain looked a bit puzzled and she went on to explain. "I hold my hand like this, my thumb towards me. That reminds me to pray for those who are nearest to me. Then there is my pointing finger. So I pray for those who point the way to others, teachers, leaders, parents. The next finger is the biggest, so I pray for those in high places. After that comes the weakest finger. Look, it cannot stand up on its own. So here I pray for the sick, the lonely, the afraid. And this little one, well, last of all, I pray for myself." I hope for those of you who like images, find that one helpful. I'm quite sure, however, that Jesus probably didn't need any imagery at all to help him pray. But in this chapter of John's Gospel, we do find a lengthy prayer that Jesus offers at the Last Supper. And today's reading comes at the end of that prayer. Jesus prays for his disciples that they might be one, even as he and the Father are one. He prays that his followers in every generation will thus be united. For it is by this unity that the world will come to believe that he has been sent by the Father. So Jesus wants his disciples to be one. This seems like a safe request until we consider it a little more closely. Jesus wants his disciples to be one in a world marked by countless divisions of one group of people over and against another. The division of Christians is contrary to what Jesus wants. I think that when Jesus looks at Christians, he does not see us as isolated individuals. He sees us as persons, certainly, but as persons in a community with one another. He does not see us as apart from each other. His vision, indeed, is that we are one. If that is how Jesus sees us, then maybe that needs to be the way we Christians see ourselves. St. Paul caught this message and he echoes it when he declares in his letter to the Galatians that in Christ there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave and free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Earlier in the chapter in the Gospel, Jesus prayed for unity, protection from the evil one, and for sanctity, holiness. Knowing Jesus prayed for us should give us confidence as we work for his kingdom. Jesus wanted his disciples to become one. He wanted them unified as a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. But God doesn't want us to just be clones, all alike. He demands unity, but not uniformity. We can be different, but we should have the same aims in sharing and living the gospel. We do not want to be like processionary caterpillars. Ralph Milton tells of how John Henry Faber, a French naturalist, did an experiment with these caterpillars. And I apologize for the sadness at the end. In Milton's words, "These poor little beasties will follow the next caterpillar ahead of them, no matter where that caterpillar is going." Faber arranged a bunch of his fuzzy friends in a neat circle, each one touching the one just ahead. Faithful to their DNA, each one followed the next one. In the middle of the circle, Faber put some of the caterpillar's favorite food. Would they stop following just for a moment, just for a bite of lunch? Not on your life. The food was there within inches, but they just kept on following each other in circles until they collapsed and died from hunger. Jesus is not talking about uniformity. He's not talking about everybody following everybody else, reducing everyone to a dull and flat sameness. Instead, the differences are to be barriers no longer. Diversity is not a cause for antagonism. It is to be revealed as what it is, an enrichment for everyone. Jesus prayed for unity among believers based on believers' unity with him and the Father. Christians can know unity among themselves if they are living in unison with God. Jesus is not calling for something he was able to accomplish easily with his own disciples in his own mission. Jesus encountered James and John, competing to see who was worthy to sit beside Jesus in heaven. Another time, disciples who argued amongst themselves about who was the greatest. Remember also Matthew the publican, who had a collaborator record of working alongside the Romans as a tax collector, becoming a member of the same band of followers that included a zealot who was committed to getting rid of those like Matthew. Don't forget too, according to the Gospels, Judas was being prepared to betray his master, despite many months of being on the road with him. Even after the events of that first Easter, Paul, a newcomer to the faith, was still had to have his falling out with Peter and James. But Jesus modeled an acceptance of difference. He did not choose disciples from uniform backgrounds, nor did he accept traditional exclusions. He was happy to touch lepers, talk to the rejected of society, notice the good in traditional enemies of Judaism. These things showed he was open to a unity of spirit. Today, we have many different people in churches, differing race, ages, sex, jobs, abilities, temperaments, the list goes on. But one thing unites us, and that is our belief in Christ. Jesus' great desire for his disciples was that they would become one. He wanted them unified as a powerful witness to the reality of God's love. So are we helping to unify the body of Christ, the church? Do we pray for other Christians, avoid gossip, build others up and support them, work together in humility and give our time and money, exalt Christ and refuse to get sidetracked, arguing over divisive matters? Jesus prayed for unity among the believers, based on the believers' unity with him and the Father. Christians can know unity among themselves as long as they live in unison with God. And I just close with a story of unity. A holy man was having a conversation with the Lord one day and said, "Lord, I'd like to know what heaven and hell are like." The Lord led the holy man to two doors. He opened one of the doors and the holy man looked in. In the middle of the room was a large round table. In the middle of the table was a large pot of stew, which smelled delicious and made the holy man's mouth water. The people sitting round the table were very thin and very sickly. They appeared to be famished. They were holding spoons with very long handles that were strapped to their arms, and each found it possible to reach into the pot of stew and take a spoonful. But because the handle was a lot longer than their arms, they could not get the spoons back into their mouths. The holy man shuddered at the sight and thought of their eternal misery and suffering. And the Lord said, "You have seen hell." They went to the next room and opened the door. It was exactly the same as the first one. There was the large round table with the large pot of stew, which made the holy man's mouth water. The people were equipped with the same long-handled spoons. But here, the people were well-nourished and plump and laughing and talking. The holy man said, "I just don't understand." "Oh, it's very simple," said the Lord. "It requires one skill. You see, they've learned the secret to happiness. They can feed one another." Amen.
God our Father, may the vastness of your creation that we can begin to see through a telescope remind us of the abundance of your love. May the lowliness of the smallest creatures and cells that we can see through a microscope remind us of how insignificant yet special we appear to be. May our vision each day of the world around us remind us that you so loved the world that you sent Jesus, your Son, to be one of us. We thank you, Lord, that we live in such a beautiful corner of this earth, and we ask in all that we observe that you would open our eyes so that we may really see and grow in wonder and appreciation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Father, for your words of comfort brought to us this morning. Help us to keep these precious words at the forefront of our minds in these difficult times. May our lives be a walking witness to everyone we meet, showing them that your grace is sufficient, your strength made perfect in weakness, your peace passes understanding, and your promises continue throughout all generations. And may we strive to find ways in which we can help others around us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O God, our Prince of Peace, please speak to those throughout the world who are able to have a powerful influence in the Ukrainian situation, so that wisdom and compassion may prevail and evil overcome. Watch over President Zelensky and others in the Ukrainian government and their families at this perilous time. We intercede for an end to hostilities, especially the deadly attacks on civilians and those charities trying to help them. Please raise up on both sides those who desire to find ways to save lives, establish justice and truth, and bring a peaceful resolution. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Jesus, please be in the hearts and lives of all those who are suffering. Bring healing to those who are enduring pain. And we especially remember Steve Taylor, Amanda Ricketts, Sylvia Harris, and Clem Clements. Bring value to those who are disregarded. Bring comfort to those in great sorrow, and especially at this time we remember all those affected by the terrible shooting at the school in Uvalde, Texas. Bring hope to those who have nothing to live for. Bring provision to those who are hungry. Bring shelter to those without a home. Bring community to those who are lonely. Please use and prompt us to be your hands of love across a hurting world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Heavenly Father, be with us today when we are stressed, overwhelmed, and unsure. help our hearts not be troubled. If we hear bad news, comfort and remind us that we believe and trust in you, the one who has power over everything. So calm our hearts this day, we pray. Let's finish with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So we turn to page 3 in our service booklets and we stand to affirm together our faith in our God, 3 in 1. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Christ is our peace. He's reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. So we meet in his name and share his peace. So the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Of one another, a wave of peace. If you're married to them, then yeah, that's the way, Roger. thank you. Bless you. And our next hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, just as we come to communion. It's the invitation from our Saviour to come to him and find rest and sustenance for our souls. Number 215.
Thank you.
So we come to Jesus, and as you come, just place your burdens at the foot of the cross and receive from him light and life. Please do be seated. This is my last communion service, so you have to indulge me, I'm afraid. And for the last time, this is the Eucharistic prayer taken from worship on Iona, which is something very special to me. And it may not be to you, but it is to me. So sit back, let the images just play in your minds. That's what this is about, just pictures of what Christ has done. And this is communion. It's not communication. We're invited by our Saviour to participate in his very life. He gave it for us so we might share it. This is Christ sharing his glory with his people. So many grains were gathered together to make this bread. Many grapes were mixed to make this wine. So we, who are many, and come from many places, are one in Christ. As we remember Christ's life and death in broken bread and wine poured out, so we commit ourselves to live lives of brokenness and lives poured out for others. The table of bread and wine is now made ready. It is a table of company with Jesus and with all who love him. It is a table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It's a table of communion with all on earth amongst whom Christ became incarnate. Blessed is our Lord Jesus, who walks with us the road of our world's suffering and who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, given to you." And in the same way, he took the wine, and having given thanks, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." So hear us, O Christ, and breathe your Spirit on us and upon this bread and wine. May they become for us your body, vibrant with your life, healing, renewing, and making us whole. And as the bread and the wine which we now eat and drink are changed into us, may we be changed again into you, bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh, loving and caring for you and for all your creation. Lord, the body of Christ is broken for the life of the world. Here is Christ coming to us in bread and in wine, the gifts of God for the people of God. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You who have been here often, and you who have not been here for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. So come. page 18. So page 7, page 18. And we say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us great grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our offertory hymn takes up the theme of the reading from Acts. And can it be? My chains fell off, my heart was free. I rose, went forth, and followed thee. So number 21, we stand to sing and receive our offertory during this hymn.
Thank you.
Do please join us for do please join us for coffee over in the sanctuary straight after this. It's our blessing. Lord, may it be known that we've been with you. Let there be traces of glory in our lives. Let there be the aroma of Christ upon us and the fire of God within us. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and with those you serve, both now and always. Amen. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen.